You're listening to SBS News.
The governor of the Donetsk Oblast Regional Administration, Pavlo Kirilenko, has told citizens they must evacuate the region where a Russian offensive is intensifying to save lives and enable the Ukrainian army to better defend towns.
Our enemy didn't move forward, but their audacious actions shows that there is more shelling, and those shellings are very chaotic. They do not have a specific target for their attacks, such as military infrastructure or defenses, but only to destroy civilian infrastructure and to destroy residential areas, such as those over the weekend in Slavyansk and Kramatorsk. Our main goal is to evacuate to avoid such a situation that we are facing right now. We've had shelling on civilian infrastructure, and it endangers lives.
The governor says 350,000 citizens remain in the Donetsk Oblast region, adding that the more people evacuate, the more Ukrainian forces will be able to engage the enemy rather than concentrate on evacuating civilians. Donetsk resident Natalia Kurneva is hesitant to leave her home.
They're shelling everywhere now, but I don't really want to leave my home behind. I have a child. I hope someday this will stop. I hope for peace. I hope they stop shelling, that we can move around the city calmly, walk around, and go to the sea one day.
Ivan is another resident of Donetsk. He says Russian troops are intentionally terrorizing civilians.
The buses aren't working. Trolley buses aren't working because they are shelling us. Shelling and more shelling. The bastards. They are doing it on purpose to scare people. Look, this is war. Shelling and more shelling, and even that's not enough.
Several people were killed, including a 10-year-old girl, as the result of shelling in the city of Donetsk by the Ukrainian army. Separatist defense forces in the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic have reported. Explosions were heard in different parts of the city throughout the day. Among the targets was a dealership and technical facility for Russia-produced Kamaz trucks, which was hit and quickly engulfed in flames. Black smoke could be seen rising into the air across the city. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said air alerts were issued on Tuesday night in nearly all of the country.
Ukrainians, all our defenders, on the night of July the 5th, an air alert was announced over almost the entire territory of our country. Before that, there's been no air alert in the capital and in some regions for some time. And some people even felt particularly anxious because of such an unusual silence. They were overthinking, dreading, looking for some kind of explanation, as if the occupiers were preparing for something. Actually, you shouldn't wind yourself up. You should not look for logic in the actions of terrorists.
He spoke of a long period of relative calm during which people searched for an explanation, saying this is a Russian tactic to terrorize Ukrainians.
The Russian army does not take any breaks. It has one task, to take people's lives, to intimidate people, so that even a few days without an air alarm already feels like part of the terror. And this evening, Kiev and again almost the whole of Ukraine heard the air alarm. As of now, there are reports of strikes at the Khmelnytsky region. Victims, wounded, are now being specified.
An international conference to support Ukraine has outlined a series of principles to steer Kyiv's recovery and condemned Moscow's actions. Representatives from more than 40 countries and international organizations like the European Investment Bank and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development signed up to the Lugano Declaration at the two-day conference in Switzerland. Signatories include the United States, Britain, France, and Japan. They welcomed commitments to provide political, financial, and technical support and launched the Lugano Principles to guide the reconstruction effort, which Kyiv says could cost up to $750 billion. The principles include partnership between Ukraine and its international supporters and a focus on domestic reforms. Transparency, accountability, and respect for the law was another of the principles, which stressed democratic participation and having the whole of Ukrainian society take part in reconstruction. This comes as Russia opened two passport offices in Donetsk, the capital of the separatist region in eastern Ukraine. The procedure in getting a passport at the offices includes scanning applicants' fingerprints and having them take an oath to abide by the Russian constitution. Olga Rendorenko, head of the Department of Citizenship and Interaction at the Migration Service of the Ministry of Internal Affairs, says thousands of Russian passports are being issued every week.
Today, on average, about 3,500 citizens per week apply for Russian citizenship under the simplified program in the territory of the Donetsk People's Republic. In general, during the entire period of acceptance of documents for citizenship, about 400,000 citizens were serviced.
Meanwhile, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says he intends to intensify negotiations with Russia and Ukraine in the hope of reaching a deal on a UN plan to export Ukrainian grain to world markets. Turkey is working with the United Nations, Ukraine, and Russia on a plan that would allow millions of tons of Ukrainian grain sitting in silos to be shipped through safe corridors into the Black Sea.
We do not have a problem with these issues of grain shortages at the moment, but there are problems globally. There is a serious problem, especially in Africa, and we want to act as an intermediary for both leaders in this regard and to continue this under the umbrella of the United Nations. We will intensify our talks within a week or 10 days and try to reach a result.
Ukraine is one of the world's largest exporters of wheat, corn, and sunflower oil, but Russia's invasion and a blockade of its ports have halted much of that flow, endangering food supplies to many developing countries, especially in Africa. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.